one of the most important reframes that I teach the parents that I work with is that kids do well when they can, not when they feel like it, not when they want to, not when it's convenient. This is a quote from Dr. Ross Green from The Explosive Child, and it is so powerful because it reminds us that in our kids' worst moments, they're not doing something to us. They're not trying to give us a hard time, and they're not purposefully tormenting us. They're just unable to do better in that moment. Welcome back to Raised Resilient, where we show you how to end the meltdowns without punishments, bribes, or yelling. I'm Dr. Hillary Manzett, clinical psychologist, parenting coach, and mom of three sensitive, emotionally intense kids. I'm so glad you're here. Here's the thing. Your child wants to please you. Your child wants to be in your good graces. And more than once, your child's brain is wired to stay in your good graces. And think about it. From an evolutionary survival perspective, your child depends on you for everything. Food, water, housing, their literal survival depends on you. And they know this on some primal level, even if it's unconscious. So if your child is doing things that make you mad, I promise it's not for the sole purpose of making you mad. Like, that wouldn't even make sense, right? So this is the most important reframe that I teach the parents that I work with. And it's something that you can hear and intellectually you're like, yep, that makes sense. But in the moment when you are with your own kid, it can be really hard to remember. Ask me how I know. And that's what brings me to the story I want to share in today's episode. Because, you know, I have been working with children and families as a psychologist for over a decade. I have been coaching parents for 5 years, and the last three through my online parent coaching program, Chaos to Connection. And I've been a mom for almost 12 years now. Like, my oldest will be 12 this summer, which is wild. And yet, sometimes I still need the reminder that kids do well when they can. And so we had this moment at our dinner table the other night that really illustrates this. And I want to share it with you because I think it will help you to remember in your own real life when your child starts acting in ways that feel like they are just trying to make you upset, or that feel like you really just need to shut it down, punish them, show them this behavior is not okay. Behavior is communication, always, of a need that's unmet or a skill that is still missing, and kids do well when they can. So we were at dinner the other night, and we're all sitting around talking about our day, and my husband starts sharing something exciting that's been going on at work. And as we're all listening to this, my 9-year-old says, "Can we watch?" And my husband gets excited, thinking like, "Oh, you want to watch, like, the demo of the thing that I made?" He's a software engineer, and I could see that he was excited that his son wanted to hear about his work. And as he was lighting up over this seeming interest in his work, my son finishes his sentence and says, "The movie tonight." Clearly a mismatch in that moment. And my husband said something along the lines of, "Oh, okay, I thought you were actually interested." And you could see my son's face fall. And we'll get to exactly what was happening for him in that moment later. But what started to happen is he got quiet. We were all eating and talking. We all kind of moved on. And he became increasingly withdrawn. And then he started to make faces at us. You could tell he was mad, pushing his food around. "I'm not eating. I'm not doing that. I don't like any of this food. I don't like any of you." And I started to get curious, because that's what I teach parents to do, right? What is going on? What is the need or missing skill underneath this behavior right now? What is this behavior communicating? And I wasn't immediately thinking about the moment with my husband. So I started thinking, is he tired? Yeah, he's probably tired. He's been going to bed late. Did he have too much screens? Well, yeah, that too. You know, I'm going through all of these things. And I decide, I'm like, you know what? If you're tired, let's head up to bed. And he's like, fine. So I take him up to bed. And we're getting ready for bed, and he's kind of fighting me. He's not really fighting me, but you can tell he's still upset. And he's just kind of being grumpy, like, "Meh, I don't like you. I don't want to do this." And finally, I said to him something that I often say to my kids when I hit that point where I'm just like, something else is going on. So I said to him, "Hey, some of the words that are coming out of your mouth right now, they sound kind of mean and angry, and I know you're not a mean boy. So what's going on?" And that was the moment that everything started to shift and he became tearful. And he said, I actually did care about Dad's work. I asked the movie question because it was time sensitive. But I did care about Dad's work. And as soon as Dad figured out that I was talking about a movie, he said, oh, I thought you cared. Like, he thought I didn't care anymore because I was asking about the movie. And he's saying this through his tears, and he's like, but I did care. And then everybody started piling on, which is true. His brother was like, that's not very thoughtful. And, you know, his sister's like, Dad was talking. This often happens to my nine-year-old of everybody in our family. He's the one where he does something and everybody likes to pile on. And he said, and I felt so much shame, which to me is mad and sad mixed together, and I didn't know how to handle it. And I said, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. You felt really misunderstood in that moment. Like, you did care about what Dad had to say. And you also had this impulse to ask what felt like a time-sensitive question. So you blurted it out, and maybe then you felt bad about it. But everyone was jumping down your throat and assuming that you didn't care when you did. That stinks. He was like, yeah, and that always happens. And he just started telling me about all of these feelings that he had been holding on to. And what was so interesting is how he just turned on a dime the minute I said, hey, buddy, what is actually going on? Now, if you are stuck in the meltdown cycle with your kid, your mileage may vary on being able to say, hey, bud, what's going on? We may need to build up some emotional safety first. I've been working on this with my son for years. But you can absolutely get there. It's the mindset that needs to come first. The mindset of kids do well when they can. Not when they feel like it, not when they want to, not when it's convenient, not when they don't want to give you a hard time. No, kids do well when they can. And if you can keep that at the forefront of your mind in these really hard moments and let that guide your response to your child, you're going to find that naturally you have so much more empathy for your child, even if you're not yet at a point where your child can verbalize that they're feeling shame or feeling mad or whatever, right? You'll get there. But it's so important to remember that what looked like just really annoying behavior, and even my brain was going to this place of, yeah, he's had too many screens, or, you know, he's really overtired, which might have both been true. But there was this really important feeling and this really important misunderstanding that had happened for him that I would have never gotten to had I just been like, you know what? No more talking to me like that. No screens tomorrow. I could have easily done that. And it probably would have shut the behavior down in the moment. He would have gone to bed. But you know what would have happened? He would have felt a little more misunderstood, a little more disconnected from me, from his dad, from his siblings. He would have felt a little more ostracized, a little more alone. And over time, those feelings build. Sometimes they build to the point where your kid shuts you out. They slam their door. They don't want to talk to you. They internalize those emotions. Sometimes it builds to the point where those emotions come out through massive meltdowns every day. But either way, we don't want those emotions festering inside. We want our kids to feel safe sharing their emotions with us, because that is how we build that sense of collaboration with our kid, that sense of emotional safety, and it's the point from which we can build emotion regulation skills that our kids are going to need for life. So I hope this serves as a reminder to you that your kid's behavior, even as dysregulated and annoying as it looks, there is always a reason. Behavior is communication, and kids do well when they can, in every instance, right? And every time I convince myself, by the way, that like, yeah, I know, kids do well when they can, but in this moment, this kid is just kind of being a, you know what I mean? Every time I convince myself of that, I'm humbled, because it's just not true. Kids do well when they can, full stop. If this is resonating, I want you to check out my video, How to End the Meltdowns in 8 Weeks or Less. It's linked below in the show notes, and I think it's going to give you such helpful insights on why you're stuck in the meltdown cycle and how to break free from it in 8 weeks or less, because it really is possible to do that, so that you can start having these deeper conversations with your kid. You can start seeing your child name their emotions in real time, and you can work through these situations without having to tiptoe around the meltdowns, walk on eggshells so you don't set off yet another explosion. That is all so possible for you. So check that video out. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll catch you in the next episode.